All right, here we go. Luke chapter 21, verses 20 through 24. So we'll start with Jesus. It's the Tuesday before he goes to the cross. He was asked questions about his kingdom and his glory, and Jesus kind of popped his disciples' bubble. And in Luke 21, verses 20 through 24, Jesus said these words: "When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those who are in the midst of the city must leave. And those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, so that all things which are written," that's Old Testament, "will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant, those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land and wrath to this people," Jewish people, "and they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by non-Jewish people," Gentiles, "until this time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." Father, we thank you for this morning. We praise you for today. We ask, Jesus, that you would help us understand the things that you were teaching your disciples 2,000 years ago on the Olivet Discourse. We praise you, Jesus, that we are not left as orphans, but you've sent your Spirit into our lives. We thank you for the Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, that you communicate to us this morning in so many different ways. God, we welcome you here. We pray that you would speak into our hearts today. We open our hearts to you. God, we open our minds to you. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us to think this morning. And help us, God, to see this world not as many people see it, but you would help us to see this world the way you see it, of what has happened, is happening, and will happen. So we ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. And as you do, happy birthday to America this Tuesday, right? So I want to read something to you just to kind of get started. Does anyone know what document we find these words in? And this is what this document says: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator," their God, right, "with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and that to ensure these rights that God gives to human beings, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." Does anyone know what document these words are written in? Anyone? What? The Declaration of Independence, right? The Declaration of Independence, which at the time as they wrote it was casting a vision for a new country to be created here in North America. And where did our founding fathers get these ideas from? Does anyone know? Well, you should ask them. Here's, I think George Washington said this: It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. Does that guy look familiar? He's on your $100 bill or your $1 bill. Does he look familiar? How about this guy? I love this dude. No, don't do that one. Give me Patrick Henry. Where's Patrick Henry? Nope, don't give me that one. Give me Patrick Henry. I love Patrick Henry. Do you got Patrick Henry? Okay, well, this is what Patrick Henry says. He says, Patrick Henry says that, did you find it? Do you have that one? You're working. Patrick Henry says that our country was not created by religionists, founded on religions, but our country was founded by Christians, founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that, this is Patrick Henry, founding father. Is that clear? Where did these guys get these ideas in forming this country? This is Patrick Henry. I love this one. This is John Quincy Adams, by the way. "The highest glory of the American Revolution was this: it connected in one moment the bond of the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity." John Quincy Adams. Benjamin Franklin said this, who was the least religious of the group. And I like this guy. Benjamin Franklin said this at the Constitutional Convention on Thursday, June the 28th, which was last Wednesday, right? But 1787, it's a little while ago. He says, we need God to be our friend and not our enemy. We need him to be our ally and not our adversary. We need to make sure we keep God's concerning aid. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it, then how do we think a nation can rise without his help? He's quoting Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Benjamin Franklin. People, the intent of the founding fathers was to create or was to build a nation on the principles that there's a God. And God has given certain inalienable rights to his people made in his image. And the job of the government, the people aren't here to serve the government, but check this out. The government exists to serve the people, to protect the God-given rights that God gives to humanity. It was a complete reversal. And these were the form of civil government that they were creating, which is amazing. The Declaration of Independence cast the vision for our country, and the Constitution was written to kind of give the rules of how this vision was to play out. The Constitution of the United States. Now, here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, and this is kind of the world that they were living in. I like this one. Experience has shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have, in time and by slow operations, perverted it into tyranny. Tyranny. They purposely wrote our civil government into three branches of government to protect us from tyranny or a dictatorship, like what we're seeing right now in Russia, or what we're seeing right now in China, or what we're seeing right now in Iran, or what these dictatorships. America was designed with separation of powers. So there could be no king, because kings bring tyranny. Does that make sense? People, we just saw this play out this week. The Supreme Court's job is to make sure that everybody plays fair. Okay? We just saw this week. The president cannot write checks. Congress writes checks. A president cannot forgive student loan debt. The people who write checks is the legislative branch. This is the rules of how it's played. We are broken up. The day that a president can write checks is the day that we're on our way to tyranny. We're on our way to a dictatorship. If a president can write checks, then why do you need Congress? It's the checks and balances. And we do this here at our church. This is a great church. We're broken up. Pastor Frank, I don't touch money. I don't know who gives. I don't write checks. I know nothing. That is the leadership's job. That's our treasurer's job. Pastor Frank is protected from the... Pastor Frank, you want to go hire somebody? Great. Who's going to pay for it? We work together. This is a great church. We have a separation of powers here. We're all under authority. America was written in a separation of powers so there can be no tyranny. And we just saw this play out this week. Did you know that Nancy Pelosi told Joe Biden, as he promised, that I'm going to give... She says, you don't have constitutional authority to do this. She's with his own party. If you elect me, I will give everybody that has student debt $10,000. Joe, you don't have constitutional authority to do that. You're the president. That's an act of Congress. She told him that while he was signing it, and he knows it. But it was a good political move. I mean, it's election year, right? It was something he has no authority to do. This was set up 200-plus years ago. It's a great country. America is a great country, right? It was built on the principles that God created human beings, and the job of the government is to serve the people. Does America have issues? Is America a perfect nation? John Adams said this, and I love this one. In many ways, I have come to a conclusion that one useless man is a sham, two is a law firm, and three or more is a Congress. And that's John Adams, who was a president and a congressman. He knows. You guys, when you separate powers, you slow things way down, and you create politics. There's debate. There is it slows down making decisions. There's half-truths. There's politics that takes place, trying to get votes of the people. It slows it way down. He knows that. But they purposely created this country that there cannot be a dictator or tyranny. And there's different branches of government. People, pray for our president. Do I hear an amen? So he's slowing down mentally, right? He said more than once that Vladimir Putin's losing the war in Iraq. It's actually in Ukraine, but okay. You can make fun of him. He's really slow, but you know, here's the problem. He's our president. And you can make fun of the pilot flying the airplane, but you know, if he crashes the airplane, you know who dies with him? We all do. Our president needs our prayers because he's our leader. But praise the Lord that he's not a dictator. And there are checks and balances that are happening right now in this country, just the way it was designed to work 200 years ago. So happy birthday to America. Let me ask you this. Do you believe your life is better or worse because of either being born here or moving here? Is your life better or worse from either being born here or moving here? What do you think? It's better, isn't it? You don't have to stay here, by the way. You can go back or go. I mean, we can move to Tina Turner. She was a citizen of Switzerland, right? She became a citizen of another country. God bless her. She's passed away. It's not perfect, but it's a good land. And so happy birthday, America. It works. Father, we thank you for this country. We thank you, God, for those that 200 plus years ago sat down and said, how are we going to create the great experiment? Can we possibly create a form of civil government where there's no king or no dictator? And they came up with America, with checks and balances. They came up with the ideas from the Bible, and they say that. Lord, we thank you for this country and what it has meant in its short life. And Lord, for those of us that are here today, we're just grateful, Lord, that we have the First Amendment, that we have the right of assembly, that we have the freedom of religion, that we can worship God today freely, because there's many countries that we would be illegal in this assembly. So we're blessed. We pray that you would bless this country. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So to say all that, Pastor Frank, is America in Bible prophecy? Well, that's a great question. It's kind of hazy. It's pretty vague. If you take Mike's class, Mike has a theory that maybe America's Babylon. Oh, it could be. Read Isaiah chapter 13. It says that the oracle concerning Babylon, the actual place, that there's an army that's coming from the farthest horizons, and that nations will be gathered, but an army's coming from the farthest horizons that will destroy. And it says, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. Some people think that that is the Persian Gulf Wars that took place, and America's this country. I mean, is America found in Bible prophecy? It's debatable. Interesting. Kind of vague. But this is what's totally true. God used America to bring about one of the greatest prophetic miracles in human history. America was instrumental in bringing the nation of Israel back into existence after 2,000 years. We've been doing a series on the book of Revelation, right? Heavenly Reviews. And after chapter 5, there's much debate on how to interpret the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. The great theologian Augustine in the 4th century said, how can we possibly read the book of Revelation? Look what's happening in the world. Read the newspaper. The emperor has just become a Christian. Christianity is marching throughout the Roman world. There is no Jewish nation anymore. There is no temple anymore. The Jews are slaves throughout the Roman world because of their rebellions. How can we possibly read the book of Revelation in a literal way? And the great theologian Augustine said, it's got to be more symbolic, metaphorical. Gosh, man, dude, Winans, that's the word. Well said, brother. Who said that? There it is. Thank you kindly. I had it. I just couldn't say it. So we began reading, a lot of the church started reading Revelation differently. I mean, the world's getting better, right? The kingdom's expanding. And then the world hasn't really gotten a lot better, has it? Is Jesus ruling and reigning on earth right now? Do you think he's a very good king? How many children died of starvation this last week in Africa? If Jesus is ruling and reigning now, what do you think of his kingdom? He's coming. See, something amazing happened 75 years ago that has challenged the theological circles on how we view and interpret the book of Revelation, because the nation of Israel has been reborn. It's the miracle of prophecy. The Jewish people are literally back in their homeland. This morning, I want to show you a miracle of the Bible that is being played out right now. Now. And at the end of this message, I'm going to show you something that I just read in the Jerusalem Post a couple weeks ago that sent shivers down my whole body. I'm like, oh my gosh. But let me start with the big picture here. I want to show you an amazing miracle of the Bible that's being played out in our time. And in order for me to do this, I'm going to need your thoughts this morning. I'm going to need you to focus with me, and I'm going to need you to track with me, because I'm going to use the prophecies of the prophet Isaiah, which was written 700 B.C., Ezekiel, which is 570 B.C., Amos, which was written about 750 B.C. I'm going to be reading about prophecies in the book of Jeremiah that was written in 580 B.C., and then I'm going to read to you again Jesus that he said in 3280. And all of these scriptures are going to be talking about the Jewish people and a Jewish nation. Are you ready? Here it comes, Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Then it will happen on that day, the Lord will again recover the second time. Do this too. Second time, with his hand, the remnant of his people who will remain from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinhar and Hamtha and from the islands of the sea, and he will lift up a standard for the nations, many nations, and they will assemble the banished ones of Israel. He will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Do y'all get that? Isaiah 43, 5 and 6, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Ezekiel 37, 21, say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their land. Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, also, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. And I will also plant them on their land and they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says who? God. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt, that's Moses, right? But as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he has banished them, for I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Jesus said this, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is at hand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of their city depart. And let not those who are in the country enter the city, because these are the days of vengeance, in order that all things which are written may be fulfilled. This is what Jesus was saying the Tuesday before he died on a cross. Woe to those who are with child, those who are nursing baby in those days. For there will be great distress upon the land, and the wrath to this people, Jewish people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led captive into all the nations. Not Babylon, all the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. It means Jerusalem will be controlled no longer by Jewish people, but by non-Jewish people. Okay? So what did we just read? It's a timeline of the Jewish people from 750 BC to 70 AD. And this is what we read. And if you want to take notes with me, I encourage you to do so, because this is incredible. Note number one, the Jewish people will be forced out of Judea twice. Two times the Jewish people, the tribe of Judah, will be taken out of Jerusalem. Right? Two deportations of the Jewish people from Judea. Twice. The second time they are deported, they will be brought back from all the nations, from the four corners of the earth. Not Babylon, but from all over the world. Note number three, they will once again live in their land. Note number four, they will rebuild their cities. Number five, they will not be taken out of it again after two times out. And number six, God will be praised and remembered more for this miracle than in the days of Moses. No longer will it be said, those that you were taken out of Egypt, but the God who brought us back from the four corners of the earth. And Jesus' words right before his cross in Luke chapter 21, which is in parallel with Matthew 24, it's called the Olivet Discourse. Jesus says the second deportation is coming. They asked him, when are you going to rule in your kingdom? And Jesus said, well, not till after the second deportation of the Jewish people. And it's about to happen. He was speaking in Jerusalem that this city is about to be destroyed. And the disciples are shocked when Jesus starts telling them this. When will this happen? And when is your rule going to happen? And is it a single event? And Jesus says, no, it isn't. Read Daniel chapter 9. The Messiah is going to be cut off, and the temple and the Jewish nation, the temple is going to be destroyed. It's in sequence in Daniel chapter 9, right? I'm going to die for sins. I'm going to be cut off, and the temple is going to be destroyed. It's the second deportation of the Jewish people, and it's going to happen all before my rule on earth. This is what Jesus was telling his disciples. It was a complex question that they were asking him, and he responds. It's still a complex question. When is Jesus going to come back? People, are you looking forward to meeting Jesus? Amen. See, each day we're getting closer. You should go to Mike's class today. You'll be blessed. Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed, and the Jews will be sent again into a deportation nations. Jesus said this in 32 AD, and 34 years later, after Jesus arose from the dead, it happened. The revolt of 66 to 70 AD, the 10th Legion of Rome under Vespasian destroyed the temple, killed, according to Josephus, killed over a million Jews in their revolt against Rome. And they were taken as slaves throughout the Roman world. This isn't once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away. I'm just telling you this is truth. This is history. There was two deportations of the Jewish people. 586 BC with the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar, and in 70 AD with the Romans. Jesus talked about this. I just watched recently, has anyone ever seen the movie Schindler's List? Terrible movie. You know, there's some movies you're just like, I don't want to watch it because it just so depresses me. But sometimes you need to watch. It's like Saving Private Ryan. Like, who wants to watch a bunch of Americans dying at Normandy, you know? But I recently just watched it again, and because, you know, 6 million Jews. How did the Jewish people get to Germany? How did the Jewish people get to Europe? The Romans. When they were crushed in their revolt against Rome, they were taken as slaves throughout the Roman Empire. And the nation of Israel was no more. The temple was destroyed. There's no more worship. There's no more temple mount. Well, the temple mount is there, but the top is gone. And there they are. How did they get to Auschwitz and Dachau? They were in Europe for 2,000 years. But what does the Scripture say in Isaiah 11? God's going to bring them back a second time. And did it happen? Anyone read the news? After World War II and the Holocaust, the cry for the Jewish people to return to their homeland hit a fever pitch. And they returned by the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands. The miracle of the Jewish people. For 2,000 years, they were preserved as an ethnic group, maintained a national identity without a nation. They preserved a language without a homeland. People, this is unprecedented in the history of the human race. Has anyone ever in here ever met a Jebusite or an Amorite or a Canaanite or a Hittite? How many people in here has ever met a Jewish person? Raise your hand. They're still here. The miracle of the Jewish people that for 2,000 years they were preserved as a people. There were some Jewish people living in Israel at the time. But after World War II, the Jews headed home in massive numbers. In 1945, World War II ended, and in 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. After 2,000 years, how do you explain that? Lucky? Coincidence? See, now here's the deal. In May 14th of 1948, it was an incredible date on the prophetic calendar because they are back. After 2,000 years, how old's America again? 2,000 years. And see, while the United Nations that was just created after World War II is trying to figure out what to do with all of these Jewish people that survived the concentration camps, and they're trying to go back to their ancient land that God gave them in the Bible and Moses. Next year in Jerusalem kept being their phrase every Passover, right? And they're going back and they're trying to stop them. Remember, you see the movie Exodus? The British were even turning people away, and yet they kept slipping back in. And finally, they're like, what are we going to do? And the Jewish people that were there just said, well, I don't know what the United Nations is going to do, but we're a country again. And there was a ruling, a permanent member of the United Nations that recognized Israel as a country. Do you know what country that was? America. President Truman said, they're a nation. There's our happy birthday. America, we're totally there. God used us as an instrument to bring the nation of Israel back into his existence after 2,000 years, which Jesus said would be, right? So what happened after Israel was reborn? Does anyone know? War. War within hours of the declaration of the armies of Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq, 5-1, launched an attack against the Jewish people, said they're going to drive them into the sea. Okay, you're a betting person. Who are you betting on? Guess who won? The man that was... So Pastor Frank, you know, I'm leading a group to Israel next year. I've been leading groups every 2 years. In 1996, I had a very interesting man. His name was Jacob. He was our tour guide in the land of Israel in 96. And he told me his story. He was actually liberated by the Russian army. He was at Dachau. His family was all slaughtered by the Nazis. And he was a little boy. He was a teenager when he was set free. And he's like, where do I go now? I have no family. Everybody's gone. And he got on a ship. He says, I'm going back to Israel. And the boat he was in went through the British blockade. He landed at Jaffa. He got off the boat and they handed him a World War I bolt action rifle. And he went right from the beaches to the front lines and he fought in the war of 1948. Interesting. He wrote a book. He said, and he goes, after being in a concentration camp, I fought like a lion. They were not going to capture me. If they're going to kill me, I'm going to take as many. I mean, he fought. He's like, I am never going to ever again be a prisoner of war. And that nation fought with the Jewish people in 1948. They knew what they were fighting for. And in 7 months, they beat 5-1. They won. In 1967, they fought another war with Egypt, Syria, and Jordan. And in 6 days, they were at the door of all three of those capitals. They increased their territory from 8,000 square miles to 34,000 square miles. They doubled their population. They captured in 1967 Jerusalem, the wall of Jerusalem. In Yom Kippur, they fought another war between Egypt and Syria. People, the nation exists against all odds. So what does the scripture say is going to happen to the Jewish nation when it's reestablished? Does anyone know? And God said this in Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Also, I will restore the capacity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine, make gardens and eat their fruit. And I will also plant them on their land. And they will not again be rooted out from their land, which I have given them, says who? They're not leaving. Period. God says so. God has placed the Jewish people back in their land for a reason. The scripture says that they will be there before the return of Jesus in power and glory. Read Matthew 24, Daniel 9, Daniel 12. He's coming back again, and the Jewish people have to be back before he returns. The Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, their sole charter is to push the people of Israel into the ocean. It's not going to happen. Iran says that they're going to wipe Israel off the map. Are they going to shoot a nuke at Israel? Does Gabriel grab the nuclear missile and throw it back? I don't know. The point is God says that once I put those people back the second time, they're not leaving. Because God has some plan. It's not that they're benevolent, good, righteous people. God just has a plan. Do you understand? Jesus says that when the Son of Man comes in power, the Jewish people and the temple will be restored. And Jesus says there will be an abomination of desolation that will take place in the last years. From the north, Isaiah 43, 5 and 6, do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. God says, I will say to the north, give them up. What about the north? After World War II, what nation didn't allow the Jews to return to Israel? The Soviet Union and Russia. What nation that's north of Israel that the Jews can't return from the north? Russia. What happened in 1988? Soviet Union collapsed, and the Jews that were living in Russia could finally return home. And they did. And they are. Do you guys remember the television show pleading for money? Help a Russian Jewish immigrant return to Israel. You guys remember these? They're still happening. Aren't they on there now? Because it's prophetic. God says every nation. Russia says, well, we're not. Well, guess what? You're done. Soviet Union's gone and the Jews return from the north. Jeremiah says this. Therefore, behold, days are coming. Now, Jeremiah is writing this 500 years before Jesus was born. But days are coming somewhere way out there. Therefore, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. That's Moses, right? But as the Lord lives who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he has banished them. For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. I was in Jerusalem listening to a rabbi in 1996. He was a Russian rabbi. And one people in our group asked him, why do you believe in God? And you know what he said? Because I'm here. And he's the one that showed me Jeremiah 16, 14, and 15. He read this verse, and then he says, I don't totally understand God. He's mysterious to me, but I believe in him because I'm here. He says, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he's banished them. He says, I'm living now. Take notes of me this morning. Here's a great note. You got to write this down. Note number 7. Israel being reborn as a nation is the greatest sign that we're living in the last days. When the nation of Israel was reborn, that set off the prophetic calendar. People, Israel is the key to the last days. And it radically challenges how we reread the book of Revelation. Go to Mike's class. They're literally back. Not only is the nation been reborn, but now they retook Jerusalem in 67. They have access to the Temple Mount. Pastor Frank, didn't the age of the age of the Gentiles end in 1967 when the Jews captured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount? Who controls the Temple Mount? Here's a picture for you. No, give me another one. Dome of the Rock. Who controls the Temple Mount? Give me another one. I got another picture up there. That one. Do you know what that is? It's a Muslim mosque. It's non-Jewish. Inside the Muslim mosque, it is written, Allah has no son. There's no son of Allah. There's no son of God. This is the third holiest site in Islam. Who controls the Temple Mount? The Muslims do. Who controls the security of the Temple Mount? The Israeli army. It's this coexistence that's kind of happened since 1967. And you know that today, a Jew is not allowed to go up and pray on the Temple Mount? How many people have gone? Mike, did we get to go up in 2000? It's half the time when we go up on the Temple Mount, they'll let us go, other times they won't. You can't take your Bible up on the Temple Mount, and you better not. I have a cross on my ring. I have to invert it, because if I have any religious symbols of Christianity, I'm not allowed on the Temple Mount. Because Islam is a religion of peace and tolerance. The age of the Gentiles is still happening. But a third temple is coming according to Jesus. Now, I want to read for you Revelation chapter 11 as we close. Revelation chapter 11. In the book of Revelation, in the 11th chapter, it says, measure the temple. Revelation chapter 11, 1 and 2. Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff. And someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and don't measure it, for it's been given to the nations, or to the Gentiles. And they will tread under the foot the holy city for 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 11 with Ezekiel 42 verses 20 says that when the third temple is going to be born, or when it's going to exist, measure it, but don't measure the outer court, because the outer court's been given to the Gentiles or to the non-Jews. And in Ezekiel 42 verse 20, it says that this is given to the profane. So according to Bible prophecy, someday on the Temple Mount, there will be a third temple, but it's going to be sharing something on the Temple Mount that's not godly. So this is what this is the second temple period. Give me one, the first one you sent. There you go. This is what the temple looked like in the days of Jesus. When Jesus was there 2,000 years ago before the Romans destroyed the temple, this is what it looked like. And I want you to pay close attention. This is a model of the city of Jerusalem. Notice there's this gate. It's called the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. And do you notice how it's lined up perfectly to go into the temple? Do you see it? Notice where the Golden Gate is now. Look at the modern day. Notice where the Golden Gate is. It's to the right. Notice the Dome of the Rock. On the left, there's a picture of what could the temple fit there, a third temple. It aligns up with the Golden Gate. The Bible says that someday the temple will be rebuilt, but it's going to be sharing the Temple Mount with something that's not godly, it's unholy. So this is what freaked me out. On June the 12th of 2023, so the Knesset right now, the Knesset is the Congress in Israel. And they are the most religious group that they've ever had, ever, since the nation of Israel has been reborn in 75 years. The Knesset that's happening right now, they even wanted to pass anti-conversion laws aiming at Messianic Jews that you can't share Jesus with Jewish people in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu shot that down. But they just put a proposal on the Knesset to divide the Temple Mount that the Jewish people can get half. June 12, 2023. I'm reading the Jerusalem Post. Palestinians rail at Likud lawmakers' proposal to divide the Temple Mount. That's happening now! I read this and I'm like, oh my gosh, Pastor Chuck would be so stoked. Pastor Chuck, all those years, kept saying, someday there's going to be a temple rebuilt. The Jews are somehow going to figure out how to get a temple put back on it. And now they're proposing it. It's July now. How do you explain this? Lucky guess? Do you know what days we're living in? Interesting days. A lot of blood's going to be shed for this to happen. A lot of blood was shed just for the nation of Israel to be reborn, and a lot of blood is being shed now for its existence. For the Jews to actually get control of the half of the Temple Mount, there's going to be a lot of blood being shed to pull this off. But here's the deal. The Bible says it's going to happen. And it said it was going to happen 2,000 years ago. It said 2,000 years ago that the Jews were going to be deported, but they were going to be brought back to their land. Guess what? They were deported, and they've been brought back to their land. I have a cousin that says that I believe in mythology. I believe in truth. This is not coincidence, people. This is happening. You probably are all have really busy lives right now, and I understand that. But if you just look up and see what's going on in the world, be encouraged. Because the God that can place nations, what it is, it's like a chess piece. You ever played chess? God is putting certain pieces on the chessboard, setting the world up for the return of His Son. And it's happening. Pandemics, days of Sodom and Gomorrah, days of Noah and great violence, nation of Israel being reborn. They have to take the temple area, they have, but they're going to something's going to be on the temple mount that's not godly when the Jews rebuild their second temple. This was last month. Is God real? Answer?
Yes.
How do you know? Read the news and read the Bible. His coming is coming. Be ready. Amen? We have an intelligent faith. The rebirth of the nation of Israel is a miracle. It's a modern day miracle. Prophetic fulfillment happening in our time. Setting the stage for the coming of Jesus. Are you ready? Is your life out of control? Did you know that the God of history is on His throne right now? Do you realize that you have a shepherd for your soul? Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. Do you realize who He is? He's God in human flesh. He's the Messiah. He came and He's dealt with sin. And He's restored you to the Father. And He's purchased your entrance fee into heaven. And He's coming again. And He's going to deal with justice on this earth. The world looks just like He said it was going to look like when He's coming. Do you know that a day is coming where there's going to be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears? When you read the book of Revelation, it's not to scare you. It's to tell you that God is coming and His kingdom is coming. And He's going to make everything right. It's to encourage you, child of God, that the Lord will not let injustice go forever. And God has forgiven you. And He's got you. And if we're speaking about a God that can control nations, He can certainly take care of you, can He? Do you think God can shepherd you into eternity? Do you think God can wash you clean of your sins? Do you think that the love of Jesus could penetrate your heart and your soul and restore you to your Creator? That you will live eternally? This is our God. So happy birthday, America. We're a little speck. A little piece of lint on the pages of prophecy. But God used this little country of only 200 and some years old. In 1948, we were huge because our president said, yeah, I recognize that country fulfilling biblical prophecy. I don't know if Harry Truman really knew what he was doing. But God is sovereign and He's on His throne. Do I hear an amen? I have a cool song for you that my brother Ferdinand's going to sing. It's a song that Jeremy Camp wrote when his wife died of cancer. And as his wife died of cancer, he was reading in Revelation, I believe it's in 21, there will be a day of no more tears or sorrow or sadness or pain. This is what the book of Revelation speaks of. His coming is coming. Ferdinand's going to sing a song, and as he sings it, if you know it, you can sing with him, but keep it low because he's got a better voice than you do. But listen to the words of this song. It's filled with encouragement. Because he's coming back. Just read the paper, people. This is insane. This is crazy stuff. Unbelievable. Let's sing. Welcome Ferdinand up.